the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And I'm Charlie McCarron.
And today we wrap up our word association series with this bonus episode.
Yeah.
So what about word association games? What do you think about those?
So I can't remember if I've talked about my view on spelling games before, but there's spelling games and word association games are both things people think of as word games, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're quite a bit different, but I think they both take advantage of our natural affinity with language. In the case of spelling games, it's our understanding of the English language and our ability to spell things and verify that things are spelled correctly. With word association games, it's I think it's deeper. It's more like how our brains are wired.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of what our brains do is based on associating different ideas. And in word association games, you sort of use that directly because, you know, you see two different ideas, right? Two words. And you come up with another word that links the two. And this is really relying on how you think. Because Charlie, like you were talking about a couple episodes ago, a big part of word association games is looking at what someone else has done and thinking, okay, how would they think? You know, what way are they thinking about these words? What associations are they likely to make? And the associations that we make can reveal a lot about the way we think.
Yeah. And I think our series of three games, so we did Codenames, Just One, and Soul Clover, they feel very linked in that in all those games, you have multiple words that you're trying to connect together into or relate them to a single word.
Right.
That's usually the case.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. And there's like a broader spectrum of games that would probably be word association games that don't have that pattern. But I think at least what we've been thinking of is these narrower category of word games for this series. But
just to build off of what Ananda's saying too with that, it's the kind of game where like it's not just using your mind to understand the English language or whatever language you speak, but actually understanding who you are playing with and what they would choose for a specific thing. Because, what was it? Charlie, you gave a clue that was tied to a game that you designed.
Yeah.
And Ananda would get that, but I wouldn't even have gotten that as a clue.
Sure.
But, like, you knew that I wouldn't say that word.
Yeah.
As well. So it was for Just One.
Yep.
Where we could have canceled each other out. So, like, that was a really good move, and you know your audience for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for a lot of these games. And sometimes it's not, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it's a detriment to a game when people have insider knowledge. Like playing right. Dixit with a couple.
Oh, my God.
They would just like give these very obscure clues so they could get exactly one person to get it right and nobody else.
Yeah.
That breaks down a little, but they probably felt pretty clever about it. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, that I think is the core of these games is like, how can you make someone feel clever about making associations and cluing someone in on something? And I think it gets to this deep hardwired part of our brain that's like really good at that and satisfied when it happens.
Well, and it's kind of charades as well in a weird way, where charades, you're not giving a word necessarily, but like if you can reference things that other people you know understand, then that's all that matters. You're just trying to get them to do the thing that you need them to do.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
And one of the things that these games do very well is interactivity. Because it's so interactive. Because I think one of the core things that you need for a game to be interactive is for players to be thinking about what other players are planning or what other players are thinking. And that's basically all of what word association games are. It's it's trying to think of what other players are thinking.
Yeah.
Trying to understand them.
And I think another thing that all three of the games we played share in common that we've been talking about is clue giving as one component of it. But I think there's also word association games that there's no clue giver. For example, Blank Slate and Hive Mind, which is very similar. And you would sort of put those in the same category as Just One because they're like Just One but opposite, where you have a word, like in Blank Slate, you get a card that says something like blank, and then a blank area.
Oh, blank, so, blank.
Blank, blank. That's a terrible example because right. I'm not making sense. What would be a better one? Like lazy blank. And then you have to fill in that blank. And everyone's trying to match with other people on it. And so you're trying to figure out like what's the most common thing that people say.
Everyone wants to fill the blank with the same word.
With the same thing, yeah.
Okay.
So
lazy dog, lazy, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Lazy boy. I was just lazy looking boy. At a recliner. That's fine. But yeah, so you're trying to figure out what. So it's the same thing. It's the mind meld. But it's not a clue giver and.
Right, because you're just trying to match your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. And also in contrast to Just One specifically. You want it to be the same rather than
right.
trying to avoid that.
Yep. And Hivemind works similarly, that you're trying to have a list of things that will overlap with other people as much as possible.
Right. And actually, I suppose both of those are using the same skill, right? Because you have to predict what other people are going to do in order to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, it goes to show like how many minor nuances of these rules can make a game feel very different, but it would still like, yeah.
Well, and I think, I don't know, for these three games, when I've played them in the past, I notice that I'm not bored with downtime because I think there is enough active time where you're either thinking or communicating to where like, or you're waiting and you're listening. Right, you're constantly kind of processing in some way, even if, no matter which end of the spectrum you're on. So like, it's strange that you know normally you for a turn-based game you want to make sure that you know the turns go pretty quickly so you don't have a lot of downtime or there's interaction when it's not your turn. But for this, there's not really turns for most of them. Right, it's like an off and on switch where the person is doing the puzzle and then or creating a puzzle, then giving it to everyone, and then they're trying to solve the puzzle. The person is still engaged as they're doing this, and everyone else is maybe having a rest so that they can kind of get ready for the next one. So, like, yeah, there's not really boredom, which I think is a huge bonus to this genre in general.
Well, and a big part of that is hearing people's thought processes.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you know, if people aren't making their thought processes clear, then it's less interesting to be watching it. Which is where, you know, like Soul Clover does a really good job of getting people to talk about what they're thinking.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, this is kind of funny. I'm glad you've mentioned this, Trevor, because I'm just thinking now, like, if you were playing a Euro game and the person who was taking their turn was explaining, like, all the decision-making.
Oh, my God.
Oh. That would be, would it be more interesting?
I think it would,
that would be fascinating.
I think it would be more interesting.
I think it would be.
I often do this when I'm playtesting things. I'll just talk out loud about...
Which, honestly, is super helpful for playtesting. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's... yeah. Is
it, actually, another thing that I think could be used more in games... I've said before, I like team games, and I think there could be more of them. But I thought about it because I was at a game weekend, and one other guy and I teamed up to play a game because... it was like a four-player game, but we wanted to play with five.
Oh,
and,
sure.
I actually had more fun teaming up because we like had this side conversation going and we kind of got into the theme of the game, like Chinatown. We were like buying up properties, but we were able to talk through like our decisions, and it, because the game didn't punish us for saying what we were thinking,
right?
Like it didn't matter.
You
were
trying
people
to
heard
conceal
that.
Your plans.
Yeah. And yeah. I think actually everyone at the table had more fun because they were watching us like make these decisions together.
Okay.
And so
honestly, I was playtesting a game last night and doing that because they were going to take over for me after I left. And so I was just walking through like why I was choosing things. And then I would ask them as well, like, hey, what do you think about this?
Hmm.
Okay. I'm, this is my takeaway.
yes.
Which is hearing people's thought processes is a lot of fun. How do you encourage that more in games? Word association games, it's really easy to do.
Yeah.
Because it's words.
Because it's words.
and you need to talk about it.
And you need to talk about it. How do you do that in games that aren't about words?
Well, and do you want it to be all of it, or do you want to create little pockets where they have to maybe conceal information as well while they're talking? And I think, honestly, it would come down to more teamwork or team-based games.
Yeah.
I could see that being more prevalent. Yeah, where you want to communicate and work together, but maybe there is a conflict or there is a threat of some kind.
Oh yeah, I'm more just thinking about like not
encouraging, not even from mechanically, just in general.
In general, yeah, not even just like okay, we're on a team, you know, we need to do a little bit of coordination, but like suppose they're not on a team.
Sure.
Well, actually, yeah. I think they would probably mostly need to be on a team. I think they have to be on a team to get people to talk. But
yeah,
just how do you get people to explain why they're doing what they're doing? Because I think the why is some of the most interesting. The why is the most interesting part.
Yeah, I think if it's relevant to that person's turn, or I think that, well, obviously in a team game it would be relevant. But I'm just thinking back to when we're playtesting and you're thinking through all your thoughts. I think it is fun and interesting for the designer, but not necessarily for me, who is the opponent. Like,
oh, sure.
It's more interesting because I'm seeing what you're thinking, but it's not necessarily relevant to, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree in just like a normal fashion. But if you can add feedback into it, like you were saying before, Ananda, yeah. Having like the opportunity for the other people whose turn it's not to provide feedback to the person whose turn it is in some either mechanical mm-hmm. or interesting way, that could be really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tricky because you want to do that without it turning into quarterbacking.
Yep.
I'm sort of actually working on with my glasses game.
Sure.
I have two teams, essentially, computer team and human team. And I'm trying to figure out what are the interaction points between the two mm-hmm. teams where the computer relies on the humans rely on the computer. And I think that is a good place to get to where it's like, I want the computer player to feel like, ooh, I had an impact on their turn. And now they're talking about how to deal with this puzzle that I've created for them on my turn. And then they, in turn, so feedback between two semi-cooperative sides, yeah, would be satisfying, I think.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of just sort of imagining, I don't know, like a... maybe a social deduction game where you have to justify your actions.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
A hidden, hidden role or hidden something. It's like, no, I did this so that we could do this, and then this will do this, and hoping that this will become this so that this person will be okay. But that could be entirely a bluff, or it could be entirely something else that they're doing. But they're trying to explain it, why they did what they did. Which is common in social deduction if there's more mechanics involved and not just like One Night Ultimate Werewolf or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. But word association.
Yeah, word association games. another one that I love is, I may have mentioned it on the show, but When I Dream is a word association game where one player is the sleeper. Essentially, they have a mask over their eyes so they can't see what the secret word is in the middle. And everyone else at the table is looking at the word and trying to clue them in by giving a single word at a time. You go around clockwise. But the thing is, half the group is evil and half is good. And there's a Sandman role that might switch back and forth. But it's so funny because you're, again, like these word association games, you're linking all these things, and it's like, okay, how does this word relate to this word?
And
this
you're
word,
keeping this it word? In your head instead of seeing it on paper in front of you. So, like, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Man.
Just another fun twist.
Might be some people's nightmare.
Yeah. What other word association games are there styles of this kind of game? Hmm.
You know, I'm not sure, but I'm not a big word person, right? I've talked about it before in previous episodes, but word association somehow is good for me, and I really enjoy word association.
So when you say you're not a word person, are you talking about spelling games?
I'm mostly talking about spelling games, but also thinking of a word, like just trying to think of a word, is hard for me. Like, I have a hard time on the spot trying to think of a word, and I don't know what that is. But word association, when you have all this construction around, like, how you're thinking of the word, really helps me understand where to grasp from.
Right.
I will say just one is probably the hardest one for me because I don't have a limitation as to what words I can imagine versus code names or so Clover, where you have a finite list of words.
Yeah.
And so, like, I get a little bit overwhelmed by the sheer number of possibilities out there. But a lot of these word associations have been, like, great.
I mean, to be honest, just one is a bit of a magic trick in how often people can actually guess the word in one try.
Right.
I am constantly amazed that it works.
Yeah. 7 to 8 out of 13. That's more than half. That's average.
Yeah. It's... Yeah. I mean, because you're right. It's an infinite space of words, and yet people are able to do it, which is... I guess the power of word association. You can get people to say the exact word that you're thinking of with just a couple of...
clues.
Of clues, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there is something to the number of clues you're given with just one. Because, like, when you have... If it was just two clues, that actually might be really difficult and near impossible. Which would be why for three players, they give you two words to use.
Right.
So
well, I mean,
four words.
They're two. Well, the thing is, you get to choose the clues. So, like, each of these games gives you some amount of creativity and some amount. True. Like, there are words that are fixed and there are words you get to create, right? Like, in Codenames, the words on the board are fixed and the single word you give as a clue, you get to create. Whereas it's inverted in just one, you get to. You get to come up with a bunch of words to get people to guess a single word, which I think is maybe one of the reasons why it works. Because if you have a bunch of unrelated fixed words that you don't choose, that you need to relate together, it's quite difficult to do that with a single word that you give. But if you have a bunch of words that you can give, you have a lot more flexibility in coming up with a combination that will make you think of... a single word. Like in the example of cane, for example.
Right.
If you're trying to get someone to guess cane with, say, one word, I think that would be quite difficult. Because almost impossible. Because
even sugar. Sugar.
There's all sorts of stuff
that
could there's one word would almost certainly not be enough.
Candy.
But even two words I feel like could be enough. Because like if you did sugar and I don't know, elderly.
Sure.
Cane is something associated with both of those.
Dentures.
Right. Well,
yeah.
I mean, that might not work.
But yeah. But yeah. It helps, like, guide it in the direction you're going.
Yeah, and sure. it works because of the freedom you have. I guess, as a general principle, the more words you get to come up with, where you get to pick any word you like... the easier it's going to, well, obviously it's going to be easier to get someone to guess a word, but like the degree to which it's easier goes up exponentially with each word that you add.
Right.
Like the difference between two words and three words is not the same as the difference between, say...
five and six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess... Actually, I'm not sure how that curve would be.
It's interesting, too, because it depends a lot on the players. Because, you know, we have, you know, the instances where with Just One specifically, you will cancel each other out if you do the same word. So people are drawing on more obscure and more obscure words to make sure that they're not guessing the same one.
Which balances it out.
Right. So if you're doing a deep word into this category, but then this other word in this other category is related... then you are, like, mentally, as the guesser, like, trying to tie those two together and figure out how they're connected.
That's right. That's a good point. It automatically balances itself as you get more and more people.
Yeah. Which is very interesting.
I'm remembering another one, too. Medium is another game that where you are trying to link two words, and you get... so Trevor would have a word, I'd have a word, and at the same time, we have to think of the connecting word in the middle.
Oh, man.
Which is, like, probably started as a theater game or something.
Oh, probably. Well,
it's a folk game.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, that is a magic trick to me, where it's the simplest version of this, really, where you're linking two words. What's the middle point? Oh, yeah, the obvious middle is blank.
Hydrant. Wait.
yeah.
That wasn't it.
Yep. Oops. So, yeah, I think the secret to these games is, like, a combo of this is the perfect word for this thing, and the combo of that and also feeling creative at the same time.
Yes.
Because, like, yeah, and the...
creativity is a big part of these.
Yep, and I think that is my takeaway, is, like, word games like this make you feel creative, even though it's, like, we think of, I don't know, creativity in games, your first thought might be something like where you're making art or like making a
story,
building a spaceship.
Exactly. Yeah. Building a spaceship.
That's a throwback.
Yeah. but yeah, that, I guess that's just a good reminder that, like, how can you in other types of games too, make the player feel like their path to victory was through their creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and since Charlie didn't say this as his takeaway, I'm going to steal what he's been saying this whole time. mind melding. Creating opportunities to mind meld with your other players. And have those moments where, like, you are truly trying to, like, think in the same way as each other and find, like, the way forward and find the word or select the word that's appropriate for that person. Have that opportunity for really just empathizing with your other players. I think is huge for word association games and a lot of, like, these co-ops in general like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts about what would you do or advice you'd have for designers who want to try a word association game?
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, I design complicated games because not really that complicated, but, like, I tend to steer away from simplicity. But with this, if I were to design one, I would steer into simplicity hard and make sure, like, it happens not fast, but quickly and steadily, and feels rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess trust your players. I mean,
oh, yeah.
As we saw in Just One, you know, people's abilities to associate words, the human ability to associate words is very strong. So lean on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess my advice would be, like, think about how you could bring word association maybe into another form of game or genre that doesn't have to be just words on cards. So actually another game, I keep thinking of other ones, but Landmarks by Floodgate Games just came out.
Mm-hmm.
That one is a hex-based word game. It looks kind of like a Catan board.
Oh, interesting.
But each of the hexes is a whiteboard itself where you write a clue on there, and then the players decide where it goes in relation to the other words on there. And then so each word is building out your map of words.
Okay.
It's pretty clever.
Awesome. Well, I also want to have a moment to remind everyone that this is the second challenge we'll be having, the second design challenge that will be posted on the Tabletop Takeaway Discord server.
Yep, which you can get away.
Third one.
It's the third one.
Third one the announced.
Yes.
We did a test one first. And right. So this will be the third one officially.
Yeah, it'll be the second one that's announced
on the podcast. Yep. You can find our Discord link at the tabletoptakeaway.com. Other than that, I think we're good to go.
Okay. Well, tune in next time when we talk about whatever we decide as our next mechanic to talk about.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.